high and a beautiful prayer language escaping through her lips. After I delivered the message, we had ministry time, and God's girl would run to my side and take a piece of my skirt in her hands. She held on as I reached out and prayed for each person who came forward. The anointing was great during the meetings, and the spiritually hungry 7-year-old loved the anointing. Her hunger was so real and genuine. Her faith was childlike. She always wanted to prayer and often spent the last minutes of the service resting in God's presence as she yielded to the Holy Spirit and melted to the floor when we laid hands on her little head. My prayer during the revival was that I could be like God's girl. I asked God to refresh my hunger for him. I wanted to love to be in the presence of God as much as my little friend. And so whenever I was looking around at all the children and the young people, God just reminded me about encounters with him, and then Matt was talking about them. And I just want to pray that we get a fresh hunger to encounter the Lord. And some of us who are older, you know, you remember those times. And I really feel like, are there any teenagers in here today? Any left or any? Yeah, there's one. I won't pick on you. I want to pray for us that God will stir up a hunger, a new hunger inside of us to encounter him. Because those encounters, that's what sets it apart. I remember, thinking, when I first got saved when I was in my 20s, I remember thinking, how do I believe in the Lord? You know, I have the Bible and I read my Bible, but what makes it stick? And I remember the Holy Spirit just reminding me of all the times when God made himself real to me. And I knew that what I was experiencing was God's presence. And that was the encounter. And you can't take that back. You know, when you can't explain, it's got to be God. And God does that for us because he loves us and wants to encounter us. And he wants to do it all through our lives, not just once and done, but all through our lives. And that we're to live a lifestyle of hungering for more of the Lord and hungering for God to touch us and all kinds of ways. And to be open and childlike. And the word simple came up today, too, just happy being simple. And it's not hard. It's just simple to just rest in the Lord and allow him to touch you. You know, this isn't even my message, but you know what? I remember when I first got saved and first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was like, I was 28, and I had all these little ones about that age. And I had such a simple life. I didn't work. I stayed home. Well, that's work. But, you know, I stayed home with them, and we lived on this shoestring budget, and we lived in a little kind of rundown log cabin up in the mountain, you know. Our life was very simple. But I remember having encounters with the Lord all the time and just hungering for God and you know, making dinner and having my Bible right beside my recipe book back then and reading it and being so hungry for the Word of God. And God wants to stir that up. And I believe that today, this morning, God wants to do that. He just wants to stir that up in each of us, that when we go about our week ahead, we're going to have more of a hunger for the Lord than we did when we came in. So let's just pray. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for reminding us that as much as we want you, you want us more. And Lord, we ask that you stir up that hunger inside of us to experience you, and Lord, to encounter you, and to spend time with you, and to be loved by you. Lord, we ask that you give us that appetite, and Lord, that we would just want you more than anything else. And so, Lord, I just ask that each one here this morning, that you would do that to them. Lord, that they would have dreams about you at night and wake up and they'd find themselves in your presence. And Lord, that you would just be with them all day. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So Today I wanted to talk a little bit about signs and wonders. And last spring I went to a conference, and it was a signs and wonders conference, and it was with Randy Clark, and it was called Signs and Wonders in Church Growth. And it was all about how if you have signs and wonders happen in your church is going to grow. And when I was there, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, well, I don't want people to just want to be used in signs and wonders. What he wants in the day that we're living in is to have people who are walking signs and wonders. In other words, they embody the Lord so much that they're so full of God, and they grab hold of the anointing that rests on their life to such an extent that wherever they go, no matter where it is, that they're going to walk into the room and they're going to be a walking sign and wonder that points people to Jesus. And I thought, hey, I want to do that. I want to be that. And so that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. Now, they gave definitions about what a sign and a wonder is. And a sign, of course, is something that points you somewhere. So we're going to be that one who it points people to the Lord. And so we're pointing. And a wonder, according to definitions that they gave us, is that a wonder is actually a time when God miraculously breaks into the earth, and you know that it's God. And so to be a wonder, it means that when we go somewhere, that we carry the presence of God to such an extent that people know that there's something different going on, that it's not the normal, atmosphere that's there is not there, that we carry something with us. And we often call that the anointing, but we carry that with us. And so that's exciting. And then when we do that, things happen. Then people get healed and set free. Wouldn't it be something to go somewhere and people who have been suffering with some kind of stronghold in their life, and they even have attacks against them, that we just walk in there and they're set free, and we don't have to hardly do anything. It's just that we maintain that presence of God to such an extent that it makes that kind of a difference. I believe that's the world that we're living in now, that God wants to do that in this day, in this hour. So there's a couple people that are examples. The first one is Peter. So you probably have heard this before. But in Acts 5, 15, and 16, it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. I believe that we're in a time when God wants to do that with us. can you imagine with Peter that they thought, oh, he's coming. And so they got their people who were sick, and they put them in the street where they thought he would be passing, so that at least they could get into the proximity of that anointing that he carried. And they would be healed, and they would be set free. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is looking for a remnant of people who have that anointing upon them. But, you know, they're not going to be those churchgoers that go, we go to a mainline church, and it's a 45-minute service, and then you're out of there, and there's no more God till next week. You know, but it's the ones who are hungry for that, to live a life in which they encounter God on a daily basis, and they're hungry for the Lord, and he's on their mind all the time, and he's captured their hearts, and he's number one to them. Those are the ones that the Lord is looking for, to be the ones who carry that anointing and who are the signs and the wonders in the world. Hey, do you want to sign up for that? Anybody want to sign up for that? You know, hallelujah. You know, that, and it's not for us to have all any glory, or for people to look at us and think, oh, they're so spiritual, you know, or to get some kind of reputation, but that we would say, Lord, We just love you so much. We're open ourselves up to you to pour yourself into us for everybody that I come in contact with in the day that's ahead for me. We wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a blessing to everybody. I want you to bless everybody who's in my path today. I want to see things happen. I want to be a representative of you to such a degree that I make a difference no matter where I'm at. Hallelujah. You know, I worked in a warehouse for a while. And, you know, sometimes atmosphere in some of those warehouses, it's not so good. But I believe that the Lord even can get us to the place that all the foul language and all the stuff that's going on, we walk in. And it's not because they think, oh, Mr. Holier Than Thou came in, but because of the anointing that rests on us, that it changes that atmosphere. And it changes what is going on. That's what God's calling us to. It's exciting. It's exciting. So there's a couple things that we need to think about and what a sign and wonder might look like. And I'm trying to get my thirst dry. Thank you, honey. I knew I forgot something up here. So. Because we're going to look different than the world, there's a couple characteristics that a sign of wonder has. And one of those is that a sign of wonder and how we will look different than the world is that we will have a tenacity and a determination that when we go through the hard stuff, we go through it in a different way than the world does. I don't know if you all... Since it's almost Christmas, do you all remember the Grinch Stole Christmas? Remember that? And the Who's down in Whoville? You know, those Who's were a sign and a wonder. They really were. If you don't remember the story, I'll tell you real fast. You know that we had that old Grinch that lived up on the mountain. Do you remember him? Everybody know the Grinch?
No.
And how he looked down on those Who's down in Whoville. And when he looked down there, they just irritated him. And he didn't like it. And the thing he hated the most about those Who's down in Whoville was that on Christmas morning, they would get all happy, and they'd get in that circle in the middle of the town, and they'd hold hands, and they'd sing, and they'd be so happy because Christmas was there. And he thought, I'm going to stop this. It's not going to happen this year. And so, of course, you know the story that him and his little dog, they go down and they, on Christmas Eve, they steal all of the gifts and the Christmas decorations and the food and the Christmas trees and everything. They steal all that stuff. And he takes it back up to his mountain. And then he looks down and he's waiting for them to be devastated because he took everything from them. And then, of course, he's surprised because the Who's down in Whoville, they all came back out and they got in their circle and they sang and they had smiles on their faces and they were happy just like they were when they had nothing had happened. And so what happened to the Grinch is when he looked at those Who's down in Whoville, they became a curiosity to him. It's like he went, what? You know, I don't know. They're not reacting like they're supposed to react when everything's taken from them. And I believe we're in a season when, as a sign and wonder to the world, that we are going to have the grace of God to react to the same things that the world has to react to, but we're going to do it in a whole different way. That's going to set us apart, and we're going to be a curiosity to the world. And that's one way that we'll be a sign and a wonder. And people are going to say, what's going on with them? What do they have? What is it with those Christians that they can go through the same thing and they just bounce back? You know, they have something. You know, we went through about 20 years in the church where there's a generation of people. The millennials, I don't know what exact ages, but I know my children who are in like 30, they have a lot of friends who have never stepped into a church, and so they don't even know they don't even know what to expect. Now, people older than that, they a lot of them who have decided they don't like the church, it was because they said we're hypocritical and we had this reputation. But I believe that there's a generation who they don't even know. And I think it's a time when the Lord can change our, we can take that for good, and the Lord can change our reputation. And that we can become more of a curiosity to them. There's people who, our world is not a, our country at times is not a Christian country anymore. It's not like it was in the 50s where everybody would, if you asked everybody, they said, oh, I believe in God, I'm a Christian. That's not how it is now. And, so the Lord wants us to be a sign and a wonder so that we can be a curiosity to people around us. Hallelujah. So that's one of the ways in which he wants us to do it. Another way is how we get along with each other. In John 13:35, it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And, you know, the world, that's countercultural to the world. People are looking for places where people genuinely care and love for each other, have a love for each other. And it's hard to find. You know, people are looking for a place where they can trust other people, where they can trust that you don't have alternative motives, that you just want to love them. And when we become that type of people, and the world can see that we love each other, then it becomes a curiosity. It's a sign and a wonder to the world in which we live in. And so the sign and wonder, it's not only about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which that's part of it, that we have that the gift of healing and prophecy and all of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it's also about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And about loving people and loving each other. And so the Lord wants us to be that walking sign and wonder. You know, people are looking for families. You know, the church can become a family. There's so many people that they don't even have a family. They don't have a place. They don't have a hometown. They don't have all of that. They're looking for a place to belong and to be loved. God put that desire in each one of us. And so we're called in this time and this season to love people with the love of the Lord and to love each other. There's a perfect example in the scriptures of a community that loved each other. It's found in Acts 2:42. It's right after the scripture that Matt just read about when the Holy Spirit came and the day of Pentecost. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of the bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, and when they were a sign and a wonder to the world. And what happened as they loved each other, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. There's the churches, you know, we look at churches right now and we think, you know, they're dwindling. But I believe that the Lord is building up places where people's hearts are turned to him. And those are the places where the signs and the wonders go to church. And those are the places that there's a great awakening coming. And people are going to be flocking to those places. I feel like the Lord's saying, get ready. It's sooner than what you think. That many of you have your destinies, as I was saying this last night, but your destinies, it's like when is it going to happen, Lord? I've had all of these promises in my life that you were going to use me in a certain way, and I've been sitting on these promises for years, and I've seen little glimpses of them happen and little things here and there, but I know that there's so much more, and I feel like the Lord wants you to know that it's going to happen very soon and to just get ready. If you just live in simplicity with the Lord and just give yourself over to Him, He will have everything that was purposed for you to accomplish for God before you were even born. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And some of you are wondering if you've messed up too much and you've taken too many wrong turns, and so then it's kind of messed up with your destiny. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that there's nothing that you could have done, that He can easily redirect. He's better than the GPSs that you have. He can easily redirect and get you on the right track again. And He can even take you on the shortcuts so that you haven't lost any time. Amen. And so you don't have to worry about that as long as you just keep yourselves for Him. I feel like the Lord's saying that's the word. He wants us to keep ourselves for Him. It's almost, you know, that the bridegroom wants the bride to save herself and keep herself for Him. And not to give ourselves away to the things of the world, but to keep ourselves to Him. And when we do that, He's going to make sure everything is accomplished that He wants to accomplish through our lives. And even more, because there are mantles from other people who have decided not to do that will fall upon you. And so it's really very, very simple. And we don't have to try to stress. That was brought up today in the scriptures. We don't have to try to stress or try to figure out how God wants to use us. We don't have to try to make it happen on our own. The only thing that we can do is just rest in Him, and He will make it happen. He will make it happen. And those dreams and those desires that are in your heart that you wanted to do and you felt like the Lord had put them on your heart, well, yes, He did put them on your heart. And He didn't do it so that you would be frustrated. Or He did it so that you could have that promise that you'd have inside and that you could just live for Him and watch. Because He wants you to see way down the road where you're going to look back and say, God told me that was going to happen 20 years ago, and now it's happening right now. And I know that the Lord's hand is on this thing, and I know that He is good to me. He wants to prove Himself good to each one of us. He wants to prove to us, like a lover wants to give us a present. He wants to prove to us that He's been in the mix all along, and that He has had His hand upon each one of you, and that you're going to get to that place where He intends for you to go. Hallelujah. You know, that's a word for everybody. Says, what's my word? What's my word? That's a word for each one of us this morning. If you've been discouraged, been discouraged about how long it's taken or how hard it's been, you know, the Lord says, just be a sign and wonder daily, every day, and He will get you to where you're supposed to go. Hallelujah. You won't miss the mark. Nobody else is going to get there before your appointed time, because each one of us have an appointed time to get to what we want, what we're supposed to do. And so we don't have to compare ourselves to anyone else either. You know, we just give ourselves over to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows what's best for each of us. Hallelujah. And so just be encouraged today. We need to get along with each other and get back to the script now. Hallelujah. Before I get back to the script, you know, I really feel like there's some people here that are frustrated. And it's like life has just been kind of a kind of drudgery. And it's like, okay, Lord, when is it going to get a little better than this? And you're waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. And I just said it before, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you this one story. You know, I remember years ago, 20 years ago, when I was in seminary 25 years ago, and I was so hungry to serve the Lord, and I had three children who were under 8 years old, and they were under five, some of them, the one had a baby and some other ones, but they were so desperate for pastors at the denomination that I was in, that they were coming into seminary and they were plucking people out and giving them churches and putting them in churches. And there was one woman who was in seminary with me, and it was a mainline church. And honestly, I don't think this woman was saved. I don't. She just felt she wanted to be a pastor and do good for people, but she didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And she was older than me, and her children were grown. But she came running into one of my classes one day and said, "Guess what? They came down and they got me. You know, the denominational leaders, the district superintendent came in, and I have a church. I'm going to be pastor in a church." And I remember thinking, "Lord, I don't even think she's saved. And here I am, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I speak in tongues. I do all this stuff. And she gets a church, and I'm still here, and I'm waiting." And I was just so upset and so frustrated. And, years later, the Lord showed me that I had these little children. I was going to seminary full time. I had these little children I was trying to take care of. And I was working part time at a grocery store. And it wasn't my time. And so I feel like I was supposed to give this word to tell you this, because somebody is in a position where you're wondering why it's not happening yet. And I feel like God wants to assure you that He has the right timing, and that He has your life exactly orchestrated how He wants it, and that you're going to get to the place you need to get to. Now, looking back after spending 20 years pastoring, I'm thinking, I should have just enjoyed that time off, you know, from all the stress that happens with pastoring. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways, it says in Isaiah 55. And so we need to just rest in Him. And it's a very simple thing of just saying, "Lord, I'm just going to rest in You. And I'm going to be that sign and wonder. And I'm going to have, You're going to be in the driver's seat. And I'm just not going to worry or fret." Hallelujah. As I said that, I'm going to pray. Because I feel like prophetically that some here are into some fretting. And it's easy to just kind of get on that road, and then it just kind of builds and builds and builds, and it's frustration and fretting. And I feel like the Lord wants to relieve us of that. It's as I said that, I saw a pin being put into a balloon in my head, and it's like it let the frets out. So that's what God wants to do. He wants to do that. So I'm going to pray right now. So, Lord, I just pray for everyone who's sitting here, and including myself, Lord, that as we look at the future and as we look at what we're walking through right now, that You would supernaturally, with Your Holy Spirit, that You would minister to each one here. Lord, that we would leave here with a different mindset, and that mindset would be Your mindset, and that we could truly cast all of our cares and concerns over to You, Lord, and that we would be free to just receive Your love and to encounter You and to be filled with Your Holy Spirit, so that we can go out and be a sign and a wonder. Hallelujah. Lord, thank You for just sticking a pin in that balloon of fretting and worry, and Lord, that it's just being lifted off of us. Lord, just lift it off of us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You all have callings on your life, and none are more important than someone else's. And that you all have gifts that are inside of you. And we're in a season in which God is tapping into giftings. And He's doing different things inside of each one of us. And don't be surprised. There's some giftings that God's going to tap into and use you mightily. in many different ways. There are many people who are going to be coming into the kingdom of God, who are going to be saved in the years ahead. And he wants to use each one of you greatly to be the ones who plant the seeds, or you get the harvest, whatever it is. But each one of us has very specific plans and purposes. And God's going to do it inside of us as we give ourselves over to Him. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord wants to fill us with boldness too at this time, that we will boldly declare Jesus in a way that we haven't before. In fact, there's a boldness that God is just pouring into His people right now. You know, sometimes we think back and we think, oh, I should have been more bold in that time back there, whenever this person was asking me about the Lord, or whenever I saw this person do something that they shouldn't have done, and I wasn't bold enough. Well, you know, that boldness is a gift from the Lord. And sometimes He gives us the gifts when we need it. And perhaps back then it wasn't needed, and you shouldn't have done what you thought you should have done. You know what I mean? But there's a time coming that you're going to step out in boldness, and you're going to go, wow, I can't believe I just did. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I went over there and I prayed for that person I didn't even know, and they got healed. You know, and that boldness to go and to do that, well, that boldness is a gift from the Lord. Yes. And so, you know, the enemy tries to come and accuse us when we think that we missed the mark. But I feel like God, this is a word too from the Lord, that we're to let go of all of that and to move on from this day forward, that God is pleased with you. He's pleased with you. And He sees your heart. He sees your heart. And that from this day forward, we can start anew. And we can do whatever it is that God wants us to do. And He will give us the boldness in the times when we need it. I feel like the Lord says you're more obedient than what you think. And that oftentimes you think you miss the mark. And the enemy has been coming at us with that accusation. But the Lord is pleased with you. He's pleased with you. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I feel the Holy Spirit resting on that. As I say it, I feel the Holy Spirit resting on that, that the Lord is pleased with you. Hallelujah. So how do we stay a sign and a wonder? We do that by staying close to the Lord. And we do that by just wanting more of Him. There's a couple scriptures, if you'd like to write scriptures down and look at them. It's by staying filled up. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So if it says you're to keep your spiritual fervor, that means that there must be times when we don't have it as much. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, none of us can be really good people without the Lord. We really can't. And so how we become good people and to become those signs and wonders is by allowing the Lord to just be in control, giving up more of us so that there's room for more of Him. And that means living a life in which we are constantly going to the Lord and saying, am I holding on to something that I need to let you have? And it could be all kinds of things. Or is there a room in my heart that I have kept the key and I haven't let you in? And we can say that, because as we continue, and it's a process of surrendering to the Lord and giving Him more of us, then He fills us up with more of Him. And we can be that sign and that wonder in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, (clears throat) Instead of always wanting to do the signs and wonders, the Lord's asking us to be a sign and wonder. And that's what he wants for each one of us. Hallelujah. You know, some of the ladies here, I know there's lots of the guys too, but I just want to encourage you that the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use you greatly. He wants to use you to teach the word. He wants to use you to pray for people. He wants to use you that as you minister to people that they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is a time and a season when God is using the culture that we live in, which has opened the door for women to be used. He's using that to open the door for us. I remember about 20 years ago, I was at a conference, and I went up front for prayer, and there were about 20 women, and we were all in this line, and the prophet, he went to each woman, and he gave basically the same exact word, and he said, "You're going to teach and preach the word of God," and I was about, I don't know, in the middle, and I could overhear every word he said. And I thought, if he says that to me, I'm going to know that that's not true, because it can't be the same word for every person. That's not how prophecy works, you know. But he did. He told me the same thing, and he told all 20 women. He told us the same exact word. And I got in the car, and I just said to the Lord, "Well, there was a false prophet in that church that day, you know, because he gave the word, the same word," and the Lord said to me, "No, all of you are going to be preaching and teaching the word of God, because God's going to need you all." And so this is a time to leave behind all of our feelings of how we see ourselves and how we see what is possible within us to do, who are our giftings, because the Lord wants to just use you. You know, he wants to use you in great and mighty ways to build his army. And so it's a time to leave behind your perceptions of who you are, because honestly, if you could do it in your own strength, it's not going to be God anyway. And so God, you may be the most timid person, and God's going to say, "Here's the mic." Or you know, you might be the one that you feel you're the most disqualified, but it's a time when the Lord's going to tip that over, and he wants to use you. These are words from prophetic words to some of you today, that the Lord wants to use you in that time, in this season. And you men, you know, the enemy has been just pounding on men, pounding on them. But God is raising a mighty army up, and he wants to use you greatly in ways that you just can't even imagine. Yesterday we were at, we went to Shady Maple down there in Lancaster, and there was a group of men, and they had this booth out in front of the market. And as soon as if he sees a basket and somebody asking for money, my husband, he just puts it in. He just puts money in. I look at him and think, "Wait a minute," you know. But that's just how he is. But so he went over and he put money in, and I said, "Well, what are they?" Because it said there was a cross and a ministry. And, they help people who are on drugs. And, you know, when he put the money in, the one man, he got teary-eyed. And he just said, "Thank you, God bless you, thank you." And at that moment, I know that he was one of the ones who had been helped before, and that he had been on drugs and had an encounter with the Lord that changed his life. And so he was there, getting money for other people so that they could have that encounter and be changed. And what brought that to mind is that there were so many men. I think this is a word for that. I'm just going to say, you three guys, you guys right there. I think that you know, that God's going to use you. That there's so many hurting men who the enemy has tried to destroy, and he's looking for people to help them. They're confused, and they don't know where to turn, and he wants to use you, that there's a mandate. I believe that word's for all three of you. There's a mandate, and the one there on the before my you too, you know, that the Lord wants to use you, and he's going to be bringing people to you and men to you that you're going to be ministering to and speaking into their lives. And he's going to be even increasing the prophetic inside of you, that even as you speak to them, you're going to know all kinds of things about them and about their background, and it's going to get their attention, and they're going to listen to you because they're going to think, what's wrong? Are they a psychic or what? But it's the prophetic anointing that God is actually stirring up inside of each one of you. And so there's some people coming, and so there's some encounters with people that are coming to you, and that they're going to have life-changing encounters with the Lord because they're coming to you. And that God's going to clean up the mess. He's redeeming people. And as I said, that there are many men who the enemy has tried to just take them.
Yes.
And the Lord is redeeming that. He's bringing them back, and they're going to be more powerful than they ever were. And the Lord's been making a mighty army of men who are men. Who know what it is like to be a man. And they're going to be the ones who are the protectors. Hallelujah. And the ones who are stepping into their role as a man. And so I just want to encourage you in this. Hallelujah. God's changing things around. I'm going to go for about 5 more minutes. But he's changing things around in our culture. You know, he's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. He's doing a new thing. There's a revival. I just saw this as a. There's a revival. I just turned 60, so I'm in on this. There's a revival of senior citizens. Hallelujah. You know, and I just real quickly, I was ministering to a group of senior citizens. They were, I just turned 60, so they were older than me. They were like 75 and up. And they were part of this this business, those Full Gospel Businessmen Association. And so there was still a group of them that they didn't call themselves that anymore, but they used to be that, but they kept meeting together. And they meet together, and then they have speakers in. So they had me in, and I walked in, and they were all over 75. And the Lord gave me a prophetic word for them, and the prophetic word was, tell them not to be know-it-alls. And I thought, I don't want to give them that prophetic word. You know, I don't know about that one. But then the Lord kind of told me what he meant, and he said, they have seen every move of God that there has been in the last 50, 60 years. They've been through the healing movement, the prophetic movement, the falling over movement. They've been to Toronto and to Florida and every revival. And so they almost have in their mind, I've done it all, and I know how God moves. And I felt like the Lord said, but I'm going to move among them in a new way. And those of them who will become a childlike faith, once again, that God's going to move in them in such a way, and they're going to bring in a lot of people into the kingdom, and younger people, and they're going to be spiritual mamas and spiritual fathers, and God's going to renew their youth, and he's going to extend their life as they continue to serve him. And so I just want to encourage that all of us that are 60 and over, you know, that's something we can look forward. It ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. And so, wow. And the Lord's just telling me, I have 3 more minutes, going to prophesy. Those of you who were in the hippie movement back, and you remember that hippie movement, but you're too young.
Oh, I'm a product.
Oh, okay.
Amen. Technically, I was there.
Yeah. Well, that Jesus movement in the 60s and the 70s, that those people, if they continue to live their lives on him, for him, he's going to revive that movement even among them. And they're going to see the things that they saw back then. They're going to see them happen now once again in an even greater degree. And the degree of the Holy Spirit that they felt back then and how God moved back then, it's going to be even triple what it was now. And so I just want to encourage you to get your bell bottoms or whatever. I don't know. But the Lord's going to do that. Hallelujah. 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 You back in the corner there. You, what's your name?
Anthony.
God keeps highlighting you to me. And you know, sometimes when the Lord does that, it's really there's an anointing on you. And I feel like the Lord says you haven't tapped into everything yet, and that there is great adventure in store for you with the Lord. Hallelujah. And that he's going to make you a mouthpiece. And he's even going to be bringing people around you that you're going to speak into their lives. And that there's so many, you've been called out a lot of times, and people call you out because they notice the anointing that rests on your life. And so when prophets come, they call you out and they have a word for you. And that's the reason that you have an anointing that rests on you, and you truly are a sign and a wonder. And that you don't realize that when you even are around your family and in different places, that you do change the atmosphere. And there's something about you that when people get around you, they feel safe and secure, and they feel as if they're not judged. And so it opens the door for them to be able to just be healed by the Lord by just being around you. And so that's a wonderful thing that the Lord has. I feel like the Lord's saying you are a powerhouse. And that he is so pleased with you. And that I hear, too, that there's leadership qualities in you. And that you haven't really taken the whole leadership role over. But the Lord's going to be placing you more and more into leadership positions. Because you leave with such, with a servant's heart. Because you've learned how to be a servant and that's the type of leader that the Lord is looking for. Not one who's a dictator, but one who can love other people. And you have that inside of you. I feel like the Lord says that you have the heart like David, a heart that's after God's own heart. Hallelujah. So Lord, I just thank you for blessing Anthony back there. Lord, I thank you for putting everything together for him to step into his destiny, Lord, and into all the gifts that are inside of him. So, Lord, we just ask that you bless him in every way. Bless him financially, Lord. Bless him in his relationships. Bless him in all of his endeavors. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to eat, right?
Yes,
so.
Bless the food.
Okay, you want me to bless the food? Okay, Lord. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together today. And, Lord, we ask that as we continue to partake of the food, Lord, that we'd also have a good fellowship time where we can speak to each other and have conversations about you, Lord. So we just thank you for blessing the food and blessing this time. In Jesus' name, amen.